Thanks, Noah. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. If you would turn with me to Genesis 42, that's where we're going to start this evening. Genesis 42. Some of you may be aware that a week ago tonight, the Academy Awards were handed out, and as has become my tradition, I neither watched nor attended the event. Part of the reason for my boycott is that for yet another year in a row, I did not win, nor was I even nominated for an award. Some of you might be thinking, Brent, of course you weren't nominated for an award. You're not involved in the film industry. To which I would respond, whose side are you on? And stop making excuses for the slights of the Academy. Because yes, I'm not involved in the film industry in the traditional sense, but I do make movies, not physical ones, but mental ones. If you're anything like me, as you're reading through story, and particularly in the Word of God, as you read the narrative portions, you try and build this maybe little movie in your mind of the characters and where they are and what's going on and how people are reacting. Try and make the passage come alive. I hope I'm not alone in this. I hope some of you do this as well. And there's certain passages that evoke powerful imagery. So I find that the Gospel of John, the book is bookended by these two passages that really have this sort of cosmic imagery, at least in my mind. And so as we, you know, start the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if I had to put this to film, I would have this sort of start us with the voiceover in the darkness, and then we start to see stars appearing, and we would be approaching Earth from the dark side. We might see the moon there, and as you know, John in his opening talks about how light came into the world, the camera would shift a little bit, and we'd see sort of this crescent reflection of the sun on the side of the earth. And it seems to start with this sort of cosmic tones, and it ends, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but John says, you know, these are just some of the things that Jesus did, and if everything that he did was written down, the world itself couldn't contain the books. And so it's sort of imagined the reverse of the opening shot is we're sort of leaving the earth and sort of emphasizing the scale of all that Jesus did. That's just an example. And again, I might be alone in this. But I mention all of that because I've been reading through the Old Testament in my personal readings and doing some study there as part of the series that we continued this morning where we're tracing the history of the nation of Israel from Exodus through to the Promised Land. So thank you for Silas for your message this morning. And I was struck as I was reading through Genesis about how cinematic the life of Joseph is. And I'm surprised a little bit in that of all the adaptations that have happened of different biblical stories, that Joseph's story, to my knowledge, has not been put to film, not in a significant way. And I'd like to consider his story with you tonight from what we'll call a cinematic perspective. And we'll try and approach it as people that are not familiar with the story. I think we've all read it enough times that we know the main events, but we'll try and consider it from how we might tell the story if we're going to do it in a cinematic way, sort of what Joseph's character arc is, what the main story beats are. And in doing so, I hope we can sort of take some messages from his life and his experiences that will be profitable for us tonight. So that's maybe a little strange, but that's what I'd like to consider with you this evening. And we're going to start here in Genesis chapter 42. But before we go any further, if you would, just bow your heads with me and we'll ask God to bless our time together. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the chance to gather like this yet again and to sing praises to you and to spend some time looking into your word. And specifically as we consider the life of Joseph and all the things that he endured and the way that you used him and the things that you taught him, pray that it would be encouragement and a challenge to us that we might learn what you would have us to learn this evening, the message that you have for us. And just give us open hearts and minds as we hear from you this evening. So we just ask for your help and pray that you would guide us and bless us. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen. So again, our topic for this evening is the person of Joseph. If you want to put a title to this, I would call it Joseph: an adapted screenplay. And again, we're going to consider it how we might construct a cinematic representation of his story and by extension, what we might learn from that. So again, try and forget everything we know about how the story ends and go from there. So we wouldn't start at the beginning of his life, or at least I wouldn't. I would start, if I had to, write a screenplay. And my Kickstarter has not been funded, so there's no worry about that happening anytime soon. But if I had to, I would start here in Genesis 42. So let's read some verses, starting at verse 6. For context, Joseph is an adult. He's at least 30 at this point. He's risen to this position of power in Egypt, and he's going to be reunited, put face-to-face with his brothers that he has not seen in at least a decade. And so they're coming down to buy grain in Egypt. They don't know he's alive. Verse 6 of Genesis 42. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them. And he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." And we'll skip down to verse 17, sort of the end of this confrontation. And he put them all together in custody for 3 days. So this is where I would start. And we would have some opening shots of ancient Egypt. Things would look very dry. We're 2 years into a famine, and there'd be this long line of people carrying something of value, maybe some jewelry, maybe they have some animals, maybe they have something else of value, and they're all queued up with these empty baskets, and they're approaching sort of a dais where this powerful-looking man is seated, and he's got his servants there. And as the people approach, they are exchanging whatever it is they have of value for food. And the process is going very smoothly. And then these nine brothers approach ten brothers approach the dais, and we see this man on the stage recognize them. And as they bow down to him, he has this flashback to these dreams that he had as a boy of sheaves of grain bowing down, of sun, moon, and stars bowing down. And so he recognizes them,